Blog Talk Radio.
Brother, at least I can hear you.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even, all I heard was noise. I didn't even say welcome to the Blog Talk anything.
No, this
year. Are we on the air?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. You're on the air.
Okay, greetings, and welcome to the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., Black Belt Wall Street Blog Talk Radio Show. And tonight our topic for discussion is the financial, mental, and social impact of climate change on our families and our communities. And to give us that information, we have a special guest host tonight, and that is Madam Sister Aisha Abdul Ali. She's the president and CEO of Summit Environmental Resources. And this has to do with information concerning us being prepared for the impact that the climate change is going to have on our communities in that. Also, we have a special host, and that is Sister Woods, Queen Ella Woods, that will be on tonight. And I'd like to know if our special guest, Sister Aisha Abdul Ali, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Assalamu alaikum.
Can you hear me?
Sister, how are you this evening?
Wa alaikum assalam. I'm doing well, thank you. How are you all?
Oh, fantastic. I'm doing well in that. Our other sponsor, Brother Bilal, is a little under the weather with us today, but he'll be intermittently coming on if we need him or anything like that. But right now he's a little under the weather, and we're looking forward to you giving us the information that the community is going to need on what we should do and be prepared for this climate change impact on our communities as well as our families and that, my sister. So I'm going to let you go ahead on and give us a little bit of information about Summit Environmental Resources Incorporated and yourself, and you can go right ahead on to our audience. I present to you Madam Aisha Abdul Ali.
Good evening, everyone. And I wish to thank Brother Bilal Bynum and Brother Aziz Shaheed for allowing me to come on tonight and give some information on climate change preparedness and where we as a community, a large community, a total community, have to go in order to survive through this new era of change. Summit Environmental Resources is a corporation, a for-profit corporation headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. And hopefully some of you had the opportunity to go on our website to see exactly what we are doing as a corporation.
Yes.
As far as getting the message out to total America on climate change disaster and the threat to not only our economic health, but also our mental and our physical health as well. I have been in the environmental sector for way over 20 years, starting in oil and gas, then to renewable energy technology, the mining and exploration, and now Summit Environmental Resources, actually trying to mitigate some of the damage that possibly our companies did in the past in the environmental area. And true enough, having been in the petroleum industry, there have been a lot of damage done. And I'll talk about those greenhouse gases throughout this talk this evening. So I want to define what we mean when we talk about climate change. We're really talking about a change in the global and also the regional climate patterns. largely due to levels of atmospheric greenhouse gases produced by the use of fossil fuel. And some of these gases, of course, you know, are carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide. These are the three most common greenhouse gases that affect climate change and cause the global warming that we're experiencing now. Now, we've known about this situation well over 40 years, and there are agencies set up all around the world to monitor greenhouse gases, and the most prominent agency that we don't hear much about in North America is the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC. Now, throughout this presentation, I will define the names or the acronyms that we see often or that we're going to be have to encounter or deal with on some levels, because there's so much new vocabulary out there. We need to start using it and identifying the different terminologies. So throughout my discussion, I will mention some of these organizations, which will serve to be informative to all of us. I would also like, if the audience at any time want to ask a question on anything that I have said, please do so. It doesn't bother me at all if you just chime right in and ask your question or ask me to explain something that I said more in detail. Brothers, is that usually the format? Brother Shaheed, usually the format? Okay.
That's usually the format, Sister Aisha.
Okay. And please, I would like for this to be a in discussion between myself and the audience and our host so we can get the best. I would like to know what you know about climate change, and I would like to tell you what I know about climate change. And so we can all grow from this discussion, okay?
Yes, yes. Well, Sister Aisha.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna tell you what I knew about climate change, but go ahead on. Whenever you want us to participate, you know, we'll do that.
Okay. The way I would like to break up the discussion, I'm in the process of telling you about some of the agencies that's responsible for the aid for climate change reporting and to monitor climate change globally and domestically. Then I will tell you about the impact of climate change on our lives. And then, of course, the financial loss to our community, family, and individuals. That's the next section. And also the final section is what must we do or what we must do to survive climate change. And, of course, the benefit of being prepared. Those are the areas that I would like to discuss tonight. Okay?
Great.
So,
thank you.
Just to mention to you, Brother Aziz, before you tell me what you know about climate change, because I'm certainly interested in hearing it, I want to mention that there are over 13 agencies in the United States that's responsible for climate change. I have to say that FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Association, is the purse in the U.S. However, in the world, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is the purse. They hold the purse string. But then, of course, under FEMA and along with FEMA, you have various departments such as agriculture, interior, health and human services, energy, commerce, transportation, NOAA, and some of the others. So these agencies, although they have the responsibility to monitor and report on climate change. Many groups and companies, nonprofits, and local organizations feel that the messaging that they have is not getting out to the communities, not getting out to the people. The vocabulary and the language that these agencies have a tendency to use is not really resonating with the people. So it's necessary for the people to get the message and the education so the communities can have a call to action on how to survive. So it's the role and the mission of Summit Environmental Resources to get this message out, to get this education out, and to call the community, give the community the toolkit that they need for a call to action so we can survive. Okay. So with that being said, Brother Shaheed, tell me what you know about climate change.
Well, what I know about climate change is that I have been reading from different magazines and hearing from different news media that the usage of all these carbon, these fuels and that, these fossil fuels, have caused the ozone to open up, put a hole in our atmosphere, our ozone, wherein the sun rays come down at a more intense more intensely than they were before, and that heat is causing a reverberation around the planet, wherein things, we're going through a slow meltdown in a sense from the North Pole or the Arctic regions. It's slowly melting. And then they say, scientists, from what I've read, say this is what's causing all these El Ninos, the hurricanes, and these tornadoes, and these different amounts of rain falling in different areas of the country, causing floods and stuff like that. And that I know that some people don't recognize when these coming because they take lightly sometimes what the weatherman they say is going to happen. And these storms come up at a more intensely than they were estimated to come, such as all the areas in Alabama and Arkansas and those areas where the tornadoes and hurricanes have really devastated the areas. Not only were they not prepared for it, but they just didn't know what to do, you know, and they had to have all the governors had to call in national defense and all this. So I know that if and when these things do happen to the community, if we have some type of plan for our community where we for shelter as well as food and water, that this will help. But this is primarily what I know about climate change situation.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. And the gases, like you have mentioned, they are the carbon dioxide, mm-hmm. the methane, and the nitrous oxide. And you're absolutely mm-hmm. right to say that our planet is warming up. And this is global warming. Mm-hmm. And it is a mm-hmm. ricochet effect. As one disaster element occurs, it affects the entire environment, which precipitate another disaster element. And so whenever we have one, we're going to have a different kind of another one, and that precipitates another one, and we have all of these mm-hmm. consequences taking place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
You are there. Go ahead.
Do we Do we have anyone of our listeners out there that have any questions?
This is Queen Ella Woods. I apologize to everyone. I had a little phone issue finding my phone, so I was able to get on, though, and I'm definitely super excited to be on the call and definitely super excited to hear my sister talk about the global climate. And it's not just about the weather either. It's about the gentrification laws. It's about gasoline. It's about everything that's affecting us as a people. Not being prepared when we should know the season, whether it be real estate, financially. We know we're about to move into one world order. So when I hear her say climate, I hear what's going on in our atmosphere, what's going on in our world. And it's so many sides that is affecting us when it comes to the climate. Of course, we know global warming. They've been talking about that for years. Why we haven't prepared. Sis, I apologize. This is Queen Ella Woods. I was supposed to have been on here with Brother Aziz earlier. Like I said, thank you so much for bringing this topic to the platform, because we needed to already been prepared. Back years ago, I was watching a segment, and they had a family out in, I think it was California, wherever they were building these shelters if the world, radiation, these bombs, the nuclear bombs back in the 60s, 50s, white people were preparing for this. And they had time capsules, and they were showing it on TV the other day. So it's not ironic at all that we're talking about this topic. But I had a home in Texas, and then when I went through some of the most terrific storms called Katrina, Rita, Ike, and Harvey, and Ike actually hit Houston. And we were without lights. I wasn't, because I actually purchased a Hellman 5 acres, and I had a generator, which I even had what they call a safe room, which had lights, it had water, it had the landline in it, everything that would prepare for a natural disaster. And it was underneath my first floor behind the mail closet. So you can imagine I lived in a really huge house. And I was fortunately blessed to be able to see that. And I believe that as a people, we've got to go back to those days now where we're preparing. God, spiritually minded, we know what time it is. Russia, we talked about that last week. That's just another Holocaust, okay? We're really the people here trying to distract. They want to bring those people over here so they can get their Ukrainians don't like African Americans anyway. So we've seen that on the news. So when my sister's talking about climate, I see it as a big picture. And it's global for real. And we better be, as the Hebrew race, the people of color, black and brown and red, we need to be prepared now and start pulling our resources together so that way we can be economically empowered in this season, so that we're not caught off guard. And right now, a lot of us are not prepared at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to talk briefly about all of those great points, Queen Ella Woods, that you mentioned. And I'm glad that you, at some point in your career, you were at a stage of preparedness. And to have a bunker in your house, that's really far thinking. We all wish that we had a house where we could have a bunker, because it's certainly going to be needed. So you were really far ahead of most of us, at that time. So let's talk about some of the consequences of global warming that actually causing us to experience destabilization of our climate, a threat to our lives, our way of living, and our social and our mental state. And some of these consequences, I'm going to just name a few because there are so many, such as our financial loss is one. And we're going to come back to that, because that causes us to be insecure as a family, as a community, and as a society. But we're also seeing the consequences of additional animal attacks. Have you all been noticing that? And that is one of the things that the scientists are telling us. Want to let you know that most of the information that I'm sharing with you, I have to reference the UN International Agency, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, is part of the reference that I'm using. I'm also using FEMA. As you know, if you went to our website, I'm certified by FEMA. Although being certified by FEMA in both preparedness and in housing recovery, I speak as president of an independent corporation, okay? I'm also using some other texts as references. So I want to put that out there so we can qualify what we are saying to you. So there are increased animal attacks. There are another consequence is toxic air pollution, and I think we all can attest to that. Now, one of the things that I think that we are, one of the consequences that I think that we are misreading is food shortage. Now, we're seeing, when we go to the grocery stores, we're seeing that the shelves are not stocked the way they had been in the past. And the media have us contributing that to the tankers that were not able to come into the port and offload their cargo. And now they are able to come in, and so therefore the shelves are being filled. That's the situation now. Those same tankers will return to the place of origin where they were loaded with supplies and food. And we are told that there will not be the quantity of food to be loaded on those vessels. So within the next 2 or 3 months, we're going to see vessels coming in half loaded. So therefore, the distribution of food is going to be less. And we're going to, over the next few months, see that those shelves in the stores are not full. So you don't have the benefit of going in there to find your preferred item. You will have to take what's on the shelves. So food shortage is going to become critical over the summer months. There's also an issue of rising cost of drinkable water. We buy water in the store, but we also get water through the tap. And the scientists are telling us, the experts are telling us, that we're going to see that rise in costs very shortly. And, of course, we already have the loss of breathable air, especially people who have severe respiratory issues. Another incident that we are seeing is mass migration. We see in this situation in Ukraine, and Sister Queen mentioned that, the Ukraine situation. But what we are not able to discern is that these people will soon become climate refugees. And climate refugees are no more than families moving from one location to another. Now, we are also beginning to see signs of that in the United States. We have families who are moving from state to state to have a better living or cheaper living to get out of the climate that they're in. And this is causing a ricochet effect in decrease in affordable housing. Now, this is taking place both domestically and internationally. So this is called mass migration, and we're going to see more and more of that, and we're going to have to be prepared for it. I read a report recently that we have not one single government agency, charity, or corporation prepared for these mass human migrations and the unbearable economic, political, and social stress that this migration is going to have on our human and biological systems. So I don't know what that's going to mean. And I can imagine what it's going to look like, but it will impact us. All of the consequences of climate change and global warming will impact us. Another consequence that we have had to deal with lately is disease and pandemics. the SARS-CoV-2 envelope variant that gave rise to COVID-19, to Delta, Omicron, and now BA2 will continue. It's going to cause us as a population of people to make some serious decisions. And one of the decisions that we have made, and that is absolutely pertinent to our survival, is our ability to adapt. I read a report not too long ago that mentioned the group of people, or the people who have the most adaptive behavior, are the people who will survive. And the first thing that came to my mind, and if anybody online want to correct me on this or comment on it, please do so. We as African-American people, people of color, I think that we are the most adaptive people on the planet because we have had the experience of segregation. And that experience taught us and slavery in our ancestors. Those experiences taught us that we had to adapt. We had to take on very temporary personalities, the way we talk, the way we did various things in order to survive and to get along. So we have the ability to adapt. Based on what took place with the pandemic, we had an entire society that was asked to adapt to wearing masks as a preventive measure. Data tell us that 89% of Americans adapted to, chose to wear the mask because they were asked to. That's an adaptive behavior. However, they did comply, more than 89% of Americans. There were some who did not, who chose not to at all. So they were not very adaptive. They did not have the adaptive behavior trait. Adaptive behavior simply means that when you're asked to do something for the common good, you're able to do it, and you do it. But many did not. And so we are encouraged that adaptability being one of the major cornerstones to survival in this climate change, we will be successful. And I think that we as African-American people of color will be very successful with that behavior trait. Another
I wanted to share on that because again, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I want you to come on next month too, because the women will be heading the call for the whole month of April, and I think we're the birthers, we're the carriers, and we definitely need you to come in and share this with our other co-sisters or other meeters, because I have greeters, rather, people that are going to come in from maybe the NAACP. We want to start collaborating so that, because we are the adaptable people. I believe God made us close to the color of soil because he knew that we were closer to the earth. We could feel better, because as you can see now, even the Caucasian people, they don't even want to wear the mask. They didn't even want to wear the mask, period. We still wear the mask, and half of them still don't wear the mask. So, you know,
That's what you're saying is so on fun with it,
you know. And I wanted to go back to something, though. You were mentioning that you work with FEMA, correct?
No, I don't.
Well, now
I
you
don't,
work but
with
you
FEMA.
Were.
No, I never did. I never worked with FEMA. I am certified.
Okay.
I am certified in disaster preparedness and disaster recovery.
So can you share a little bit more about that, what you do? Because I think it's real important, because I'm in real estate, and I was thinking about the trailers back then when, you know, the storm happened in Louisiana, Katrina and Rita,
well,
and all the other areas. What are your group doing now so we can be even in that area of making sure that people get prepared, like the brother said earlier, the storms are coming through those areas. and they're affecting us too, but we don't get to see us. We see the Caucasian people and how they're coming together in their communities to help one another, but we got to know it goes beyond that.
Well, the whole part, one of the major components of this presentation tonight is to draw a roadmap of how we can come together to work through this climate change, to benefit, to take advantage of the benefits. And we know that we have to develop partnerships. We are a for-profit corporation. There are many other organizations out there that we need to come together with. Summits, our corporation's primary objective is to teach, educate, and help bring resources to our community. Well, not just our community. When I say our community, I guess I'm talking about all of America. Starting in the latter part of April or the first part of May, we will start conducting training sessions of populations of people. You know, these will be Eventbrite training. We're going to train people in disaster preparedness, how to survive. And I'm jumping ahead, but I think I should to answer your question. We're going to talk about what we must do to survive. We're going to talk about developing consciousness toward survival and what all of that means. We're going to have plans. We're going to make plans on what you do when you have to, before the storm, when you are informed that there's a storm coming your way, what do you do? That's a plan that we have to already have in place. You have to have already made the decision. Are you going to shelter in place or are you going to evacuate? And if whichever one of those two directions you go, you only have two directions, shelter or evacuate. You have to have all of the essential equipment and supplies and know how to use them and what to do with them. So this is the training that we're going to start conducting all over the United States, hopefully with large groups, with nonprofits, with local governments, with faith-based organizations and community groups. And this is virtual. This is the mission of Summit. We're, by the grace of God, we're going to form these partnerships with organizations. And let me tell you why we really need to form a partnership. There is a report. Have many of you heard of Executive Order 14030? This was released by the White House on October the 14th, 2021. Okay, and that report says, it's a 40-page report. It says, since 2019, HUD has allocated more than $16 billion of community development block grant mitigation funds to 22 states and local governments for activities that lessen the impact of future disasters. Now, I'm in this business. Our corporation is in this business, and we know our way around a little bit here. But this $16 billion did not cross our table. How many of you did that $16 billion cross? Did it cross any of you all's table?
No.
Okay, so I can preempt that with you. Because we are literally, that's what my group does, and we're for profit. And we're getting ready to go in and start getting into the mayor's task force and finding these land development associations, because they're all over in every state, every city. So what you're saying now is really, yes, we have to get here, right here, because we don't own anything to have bunkers. So now we get to this place where you're talking about right now, madam, we will literally be on the hills because at this point we need to own real estate so we can prepare for this time, because most of the black people in those areas of Alabama, Missouri, Louisiana, places like that, those were air properties, and some of them, they were renters. So they didn't own anything to prepare. It was the landlords who took and got the money. See, that's where the financial side of me is. I'm a financial advisor also, and the regional director of Black Belt Black Wall Street. However, I have my own for-profit, the Hillionaires Club, and we're doing business as Black Wall Street Connections. And we're going to connect with you because that's what we're doing now. We have no choice. We've got to be about our business in the real estate sector, because we will never be prepared if our people aren't prepared. So that's why having a forum. Thank you, Elder Bynum. I know he's there, but he's a little under the weather. Thank you, Brother Aziz, again, for having our sister, Madam Alicia, on the phone, because she is very important to this piece of this pie. I'm looking forward to working with you, but I'm giving you back the platform to speak. The floor is back to you, sir.
Mm-hmm. So to continue with what you're saying as well, we know that every time there is a major disaster, it puts our assets at risk. It decreases, and it not only are they subject for destruction, it decreases the value. Now, the insurance industry is having a issue on how they can construct the liability insurance for the properties that are coming forth to get the insurance. And then, of course, if you are a homeowner, you know that it's almost impossible to pay the premium on flood insurance that the U.S. government has the initiation of. It's almost impossible, and poor people cannot afford the premium. So, therefore, we're out of the ball game as a group of people, poor people, on flood insurance. So that puts our property and our assets at greater risk. Also, we have the issue of lost wages. So the federal government is telling us, and these fantastic reports that are issued are telling us, that we need to put anywhere from 5 to 10% of our annual income in reserve for emergency trading. This is an emergency trading reserve that they're suggesting that every family has. 5 to 10% of our annual income. Well, that's almost impossible for low-income people. It's even impossible for middle-income people when you consider that 62% of all families are one paycheck from bankruptcy, and one half of all U.S. households are just one emergency away from bankruptcy. So if these are the standards established for America, we have already been left out of the equation before we get started. I don't know too many families who can put 5 to 10% of their annual income into a emergency trading reserve. And last week when the woman was on talking about gold and cryptocurrency, not many of us can take advantage of that issue, although we want to. And that is a form of trade. You can use those type of elements to trade, to buy things with, to barter with. And the government is telling us this is the type of trade and reserve we need. So if anybody online think that we can do that, please share it with us.
I'm here. So, you know I'm going to come back in and share, because I know we can do it, but we have to not talk about it now. We got to be about it. She came on last week. She came on 2 weeks prior to that. We have a trading platform, and we have a robot side. But in essence, I want to start, we need to put together a consortium. Most of us are older, so we don't really have that time. And as being a financial advisor, I have my license and insurance, but also have a Series 6. So when you're dealing with commodities and then you're dealing with the stocks, we don't really have time to gamble with some of those. You know, we need stable situations right now, especially with the way, like you said, people lost jobs. A lot of us as African-Americans, I didn't get a PPP loan, okay? I would have loved to. Seemed like the people who were getting PPP loan never had even a business. And here I filed taxes every year. However, you know, none of this was set up for us anyway. It was always set up to actually work against us, because if you weren't prepared for things, then, and I never had to really worry about leaning on the government for anything. So that's just my mindset. You know, you've got people that do want to take advantage of it, but they got to realize nothing is free. Everything they've given to you, they take back. What you're saying now is basically we need to be prepared as a climate of people.
Absolutely.
Making sure we can get into the community, educate our people. So I have ground troops. I am a ground troop. I want to go into, I was down in Selma. You know, they've got real estate there you can pick up for $5,000. Hello. $10,000. You buy a portfolio for $100,000 of 10, 20 houses. That's how lucrative it is right now that we go in where they came out of, and let's go back into our communities and pick up our land. It's there. They have procurement licenses. As long as you've had a business for 3 years, you can actually go in and go to the mayor's task force or do the affirmative action program. Those programs, we're not getting any of it, like you said. Most of the people even got the No Child Left Behind money was Cumin, Huntington, Sylvan. We didn't get any of the money, but the money's there. So what we're doing now, sisters, we're coming up with strategic strategies to how we can go in the community and start getting this money through after-school programs. We can go in and offer our ministries, our charter schools, and build wealth academies. Because a lot of the things now, what we could do as older people is we're going to have to invest in our younger people, because they're the ones who's going to carry tomorrow, not us.
And you're absolutely right. If you're 40 and younger, you are in the population that will suffer the consequences of climate change the longest. Because you're going to live longer through those time periods. Those of us who are over 40, we will not suffer as long as our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So that's the group, the 40 and below, that's the group that will do the greatest suffering. So we do. We're going to have to bring them in, and we're going to have to train them and educate them and have a plan. And there is a very clear-cut plan or roadmap on disaster preparedness. There are two sides to disaster, pre-storm and after the storm. Of course, the pre-storm is preparedness. After the storm is recovery. Most of the money that have come down through FEMA have gone to recovery. Recovery is going to bomb out if we do not get the preparedness part organized and get the majority of the people in America prepared. Recovery, we already saw from Katrina that recovery displaces people. And that's going to take place. And when I first saw that many years ago, I was alarmed. But now I understand people are going to have to change their location. They might not be able to go back into those same areas that flooded because of environmental injustice. Those areas were known to be flood zones. Our people were placed in those flood zones. They built their homes. We built our institutions in those flood zones, and now we are trying to shore them up again, but they're going to flood again unless the Army Corps engineers come in and do substantial remediation of the areas. they're not doing that in our communities, but they are doing it across town to the other communities. So all of those things we're going to have to look at, and perhaps we might lose some of our communities. But it doesn't mean that we have to lose out, because there are many other places that we might have to call community again, or our new community. So I think that if we come together, mobilize ourselves, get the groups, come in numbers, asking for the resources, requesting those resources, because we have a plan. And this is what our company is doing. We are putting together, or we have put together for the most part, the education program. We know that it is qualified because we are using the materials primarily that with tweaking, because we know how to tweak things and we know how to change things. We know how to put it in the language for the people. This is information that FEMA has put out, that the other agencies have put out. We just have to change the language. It was put out by the academic community in the language of the academic community. And I tell you frankly, I come from the academic community at Rutgers University. I was an administrator there. And that language was not as complicated back then at Rutgers as the new language is today for climate change. So we're breaking that language down so not just the community can understand it, but all of us. Yes, go ahead, brother.
I was going to ask you, I didn't mean to interrupt, I was going to ask you a question about that executive order 14. What was that executive order again?
It's U.S. climate-related financial risk executive order 14030. And if you would just simply Google this, a roadmap to build a climate-resilient economy, that topic. And the date on the one that you want is October 14th, 2021. And this is put out by the White House. Okay? You got that?
October 14th, 2021.
No.
And you said it's executive order 4030, right?
4030.
So is it 4030?
Okay, let me say it again. 14030. Five letters. 14030.
Which is the number
and
it's eight.
That's the executive order number.
So this is where we come back to solutions now, because we know this, but how do you get our people in one accord? See, this is strictly where we've got to now network with some of these other organizations. I happen to sit with the lady from the Black Caucus. We need to get to her. She's a female.
Okay.
She's the president. They're not doing anything. Of course, Sheila Jackson Lee, I have her phone number. I've been dealing with her for years because I'm from out of the Houston area, even though I grew up in Plainfield. What we got to do now is we need to have board meetings like they do, 5 a.m. in the morning at the Chamber of Commerce. We need our own Black Chamber of Commerce in every state, every city, and every township. We're going to have to now build as Black Belt, Black Wall Street. We've got to come together. Even though we are our own separate entities, it still comes under the umbrella of Black Belt, Black Wall Street, because that is a name that they do recognize, and I'm being real. When I went down there, I could have said a Hillionaire's Club, could have said Queen Elle, it don't matter. But when I said the word Black Belt, Black Wall Street, founded by Booker T. Washington, then Black people from Al Sharpton and even Jesse Jackson wouldn't even let my hand go.
Yep.
We are the ones that will make reshape the paradigm of all of these changes, but we got to now do it.
Right.
A lot of us are too old. I'm still in my mid-50s, but I'm getting older. I have sons, and my daughter just entered into the Navy. Matter of fact, I have prophesied she's going to be actually one of the first black female corporate. They just did a white one the other day, but she's going to be top because she's top now in her training class. They've got her carrying two flags at her boot camp, graduation. And I don't know what else she's doing, but I just know God's going to use her. But we still got to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, because we know in this season with the climate, as you brought that, that's a major topic right there. The climate affects everything from even our water we drink in Detroit.
And we
know what happened out there.
We discussed those consequences. Absolutely.
So now we got to get to our mayors. There's a lot of them being black put in office, and we've got to get them to give us the strategy on how to get this land, because to get to the place that I was living, I lived in a community of 13 houses, and I was the only black, and that was in early 2005, 2006. So when I look at that life and being in that situation where I had you called it a bunker, and that's what they did back then. They prepared. We know the last great war, if most of us are spiritual, is more going to be China, because we have to look at money. We can't look at, like I said, right now, gentrification. All of these, where they're actually dealing with us as human beings, and they're making clones of us. And you got the pandemic with these masks and all of this stuff. That's just fluff. Because if you weren't going to get it, you're going to get it, just like cancer. You're either going to get cancer or you don't get cancer. Not everybody gets it. Pandemic, just like corona. Not everybody got corona. I thank God I didn't. But a lot of people did around me. But that don't mean I got to accept that I have to have it. So now that we're here and we're talking about this on this platform here, what do we do as of today to say, okay, June, we're going to come meet up in D.C. May, we're going to come meet in D.C. I'll be up there in April. I'll be there in Atlantic City meeting with my state director there in the Pleasantville area. So we need to come to a day we can meet up, and I'll come. I think you're in Delaware, are you? Alicia?
No, I'm in.
Where are you going?
No, I'm in Durham, North Carolina.
Okay. So, okay, I'm right here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You're not far from me. I can come there.
That's true.
But we got to sit down now, and we need to strategize.
Well, let me tell you the approach that we are taking as a corporation.
Okay.
Our approach is to use the language of where the money is.
Okay.
I made a statement that, and maybe I don't know if you were on when I made
this
statement.
Might have been too early.
I said that since 2019, HUD has allocated more than $16 billion of community development block grant mitigation. Mitigation now.
Yeah,
that's the catch word
it.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
To 22 states for activities. Now, mitigation is to lessen the impact of something, right?
Yes.
For activities that lessen the impact of future disaster. And that is nothing less than preparedness, being prepared. That's how we mitigate exactly their language. This is how we mitigate the impact of future disasters by being prepared. How do we get prepared? This is what Summit has set up, the platform to teach the community people, all the U.S., how to get prepared. And that is three basic concepts. That is conscious building, meaning that you are aware. Now, everybody is aware because they know that storms are coming and are have been here and coming and will continue to come. But it's more than that. Conscious building means you are at the point where you want to take action. You want to do something about the situation that you're in. And we have, remember back in the 60s, we did conscious building. You know, you all remember that? Conscious
mm-hmm.
raising.
Yeah.
That was Absolutely. To make people ready to take action. That's the first step in this training that will take place. The second step is planning. You have to have a plan. Now, FEMA put this out over 10 years ago. You got to have a plan. What you going to do? Where you going to go? How you going to get there? What happened in Katrina? The people had to wait for the federal government to rescue them because they didn't have the mobility to evacuate. You can't evacuate if you don't have transportation, if you don't have a car or a bus or something. So they had to stay mm-hmm. there. But we have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the next step, the third step, is readiness. You have to be ready. When a storm comes, you got to have a go bag. You got to have all the essential equipment you need. Mm-hmm. And this gets back to what you did, Queen Ella. You were prepared. You had the equipment that you needed. You had the reserve. You probably had 30 to 60 days of reserve in your house somewhere, food and water and the stuff you need. But what happens now when we hear of a disaster, people rush to the grocery stores and just get whatever they can. And most of that stuff they don't even need. So we know what they
mm-hmm.
need. If that is a tornado in Mississippi, of which they have that yesterday and some of it today, right? They had a storm emergency in Mississippi. We know
mm-hmm.
at some point.
Yeah.
Exactly what you need in a go bag if you have a tornado. Mississippi is
right.
in Region 4. FEMA has divided the entire country up into 10 regions. Mississippi is in Region 4, North Carolina and South Carolina. We know the regions that every state is in, and we know what NOAA has said, the projection of storms for those regions. So, therefore,
mm-hmm.
we will recommend this is what you need, and we will help you get it. We will provide it. It will be available to you, so you don't have to rush to the grocery store and spend up all your money getting stuff you don't need and cannot even use. That's preparedness. That's mitigating the impact of climate change. That's building resilience. Resilience is no more than the ability to bounce back after a disaster. But we're telling all the federal agencies, we don't want to just bounce back. We want to bounce back better. And that's where we're going as a company and the type of training that we will start offering the end of April, 1st of May. And we would run six-month series at a time. And then we will have these people come in, the people to come back, and let's evaluate where you are. So this is what we are doing to make a difference. Now, we want to partner. And there are different aspects to this. And the real estate part is a portion of it. So we put all of these parts together. That will make a whole community. That's wholeness, and that's what we want to do. We want partners. We want to for you to be able to use the knowledge of what we're doing to help your
mm-hmm.
efforts, and we use the knowledge of what you're doing to help our efforts. And we go to the officials. We go to FEMA. We go to NOAA. We go to HUD with a full package. How we're going to save ourselves, and we want the funds. And they will be hard-pressed, sister, to turn us down. And if they turn us down, I'm old school, from the 60s. I'm quite a few years older than you. I know, and I know that you know, and I know that brother, all the brothers Bilal and brother Aziz, we know how to get attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll do it. What we got
Absolutely.
To lose? But we
that's
got a
right.
lot to lose, and that's the life of our children, the life of our grandchildren, because
mm-hmm.
they're
yeah.
the ones that's going to suffer the longest from climate change. And this is what we have to protect.
Right.
Come here, buddy.
That is correct. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Who do we have on?
Oh.
What I want.
I don't know.
This is Brother Aziz. What I wanted to say was we're going into our second show of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street program, and this is where our co-host, Sister Woods, brings on her special guest in that. However, Sister Aisha, you continue to talk on, and I know Sister Woods is enjoying it like I am. And Sister Woods, I'm here, but, you know, go ahead on. And if you have any special guests, you know, go ahead on, please.
I have a gentleman a little bit later, but I think what we're talking about right now, when he does come on, it'll, like, connect some of these dots, because we have to also think about preparing ourselves not only for the real estate, but we got to have our own businesses. You know, we got to have
oh,
so
yeah.
what we're doing with the actual Billionaires Club, we're a real estate investment plus network marketing conglomerate. So we're basically going in and we're going to teach people how to purchase real estate, but also be able to go in and get real estate for free, because they owe us. The land was our Indian brothers and sisters, our family mates. I'm a Seminole. So we have a lot of land out here. You know, there's a lot of Cherokees in us. You know, it's a lot of Blackfoot. I mean, you can name it. It was a plethora of everything. We probably even got some German in us too. So when we look at the shift that you're talking about, these classes, us coming together, collaborating, we're doing a program with the NAACP Cobb County here in Atlanta, and it's Black Belt Black Wall Street doing business with the Black Wall Street Connections group that I have actually had to charter and put in place, because I didn't have a home for the people that I had brought on board when we kind of had to do a little different plan. And, of course, Elder Biden and I had talked about that, so we can kind of come together some way, because no one can lose money in this, right? So, but we're going to make it work. We're going to make this work. I have my own vision. We all have a vision that has been given to us. But at the end of the day, as long as we stay in our lane and we operate where we so that way I'm not stepping on my sister's toe, I'm not stepping on my brother's toe, because that's not how the body functions. We just want to come together
right.
decent in order, but we need to now connect with these organizations that's been out here getting this money. I did not go nonprofit, because there's no big black white people do not do nonprofits in the beginning. They do for profits, and you got to have money to give to even be able to do a nonprofit. Those are organizations that are charitable, you know. So for most of us, we have to come out of our own pockets. So ain't no need of us faking that to have a business organization. But there is a lot of money out there. And because I've been in the financial arena for over 25 years, it doesn't matter who's been there the longest, I've actually been able to get in the real estate side of it. So I know what they do. Those immigrants you're talking about, when they bring them here to America, they get what they call the new immigrant law. It's a new immigrant law that's put in place that allows them to get not only housing, but loans, cars, and all they have to do is have a 10 number for less than 6 months in America. They're already planning that. We've got to be the ones to step ahead, teaching our young people now, and that's what we're doing. We're building schools, wealth academies for our young people that will teach them economics. We don't need financial literacy. We need economics. because that's what empowers the world. And right now, that's something that
that's
I believe
right.
that since my passion is for youth, I don't really care. I can't say I don't care about old people because I have a mother, but she's a CPA, so I don't have to do a whole lot. They plan very well. My parents, my dad had me pick out a casket for him. You know, we already did his planning. I already have the power of attorney in place. I have the do not resuscitate because that was his will. So everything, I had that, but not everybody is blessed to have that. And some don't even have parents still, so I'm blessed. But with that being said, we have to educate our young people how to be prepared. And that's what I believe, you know, this whole topic is about. And I'm, like I said, I'm so grateful to have you here sharing this, Madam Elisa. Is it Aisha?
Aisha Ali?
Okay.
Abdul Ali, yes.
Yes, Madam Ali, I appreciate you coming on here. And again, Elder Bynum and Brother Aziz having the ears to hear, because this is so necessary. And it's good to know you've already began doing this in Durham, because we need people that have already put root in the ground, because it's hard to start businesses, for real. I had to take a four-year-old company that I started in 2017 and bring that back to life. That's where the Hillionaires Club come in. I started a book, and basically I never took time for myself to do me. I've always worked everybody else's vision, and y'all said not in this season. So I appreciate Elder Bynum for putting me in position so I can be able to, my gifts can make room for me too. But we all have gifts that has to be made room for. And now it's going to be us as the torchbearers. And they're allowing us, Madam Ali, to be able to come together in April. And let's bring our other brothers, sisters, or it can be brothers too. We're not going to say we don't want our brothers on here, because we know it's impossible to be a real woman without a man, right? Okay. So with that, you know, I want to let you finish sharing that. When the guy Malcolm texts me, I'll let him come on. He's going to be more so talking about a free app that, in actuality, it pays. Most of these people, they sign up for Facebook and all these, and we don't even get paid for it. We got all these apps we download, and we don't even get paid for it. Well, guess what?
That's
we need multiple streams of income in this season. So when I brought the young lady the other week on, she decided to cut off from the paying side, and let's train our older people and our younger people without charging. That's a blessing. She can even afford to do that, because Elder Bynum and I both and others that have had licenses, we pay for that. When we pay every year,
you know,
and we have to pay for marketing and so many other things.
And I have
to tell
you, we are a corporation. And our workshops are not free. They are very inexpensive, but they are not free.
Okay. And that's fine.
And my experience has taught me this, sister. When people pay something for their
they value
it more. And we are a corporation.
Ma'am.
We are a for-profit. And we have back-end technology people, and they are
I'm
not on about free, because in my business is for profit. So the Destiny Group, no, we'll have a fee that we charge to train and teach. But my state directors, because of where we had to come from and where we're going now, I couldn't charge this year because we were a lot of us lost money in our last platform that we operated in, and I'm not going to go into detail about that. So I'm going to give it this year, but next year, no, once I sit down with Elder Bynum, because like I said, I have a loyalty to him and the organization, because I know without Dr. Stone, I wouldn't even been a part of this, and if it wasn't for the New African American Business Association, I would never have brought Epic and none of my other people to the table to even meet him and get to be a regional director, black, you know, all this other stuff. So I always make sure I build up and I don't never forget where I came from. But with that being said, I do understand, and we have to charge because people don't appreciate you doing anything for free. Now, what I'm talking about, this app that I was bringing the gentleman on to talk about Tapestry, is we have to also remember in economics and in the economy of the seasons we're living in where apps are so prevalent to download on our phones, none of them are paying us. Think about it.
Right.
So if we can download all our Google and all of this, and they making money. You got to remember, they make money. We've got something that we're going to share. So I try to bring those because when I tried to talk to people about my epic vision for the young people, they were like, oh, well, $135 is too much money. Really? Really? But you can take $135, most females, and go get their hair done. And most of us driving nice cars, okay? And we know we pay that a month or you pay cash. But we know how people use their money. So all I'm saying is the investment of some things. But this, what I'm trying to bring to the table now is how we can invest in each other and make sure that we are working together and that way we can utilize it. Because little kids, they don't. And my passion is the children. They don't have money. So most of the things I'm going to bring to the table will be able to help empower us so we can empower our future and leave legacy, generational wealth.
I think Brother Bilal was trying to come in and want to say something. I'm not sure. Brother Bilal, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, thanks so much. Sister Aisha, going back to talking about are we prepared for the storm, Sister Aisha, right now, and you was mentioning it, and I'm experiencing what you were talking about. I was as for you and Miss Woods both. Rent has gone from sky high from this climate control that we're dealing with. My question is, and I know that, and I'm talking about poor folks, because the rent, I was up in Delaware, and this is where, I know here in Washington, D.C. and all like that, I expect the rent to be quite high, as always been, but I was up in Delaware, and because of this, the atmosphere that we're living in, in order to live in the low-cost areas or what we would call the ghetto, it's costing as much as $1,500 a month. And now, and of course, if you want to live in a middle-class community, you can expect to pay over $2,000 a month. And I'm talking about a small state like the state of Delaware. Do you ever see these prices ever going back? And I know, like I'm saying, Ms. Woods, she's absolutely right, because I know I own a couple of houses in Delaware, and I know the houses that I own, my mortgage, you know, you're talking about no more than around $1,200 or $1,000 a month, and that's the advantage of owning your own property. But those of us, and like I said, most African Americans, they are in the renting of positions, and now that the atmosphere that we're living in, and your topic is I don't know, I wish. You're going to have to come back because, again, I have to advertise and promote you just a little more. What you're talking about I can't tell you how important. Yeah. But my thing is, do you ever see normalcy in this climate change and our economical change?
It's a broad topic. I have to inject real quick because my guy has to get off of the – he's only on here for 10 minutes, and I need to get his topic in so that way we can move forward because I can we would love to have her finish sharing, because this is a broad topic that could take weeks,
no,
or
I
months,
can
or years.
Answer his question.
But
later.
I do need him to be able to share this other topic. So I apologize, Elder Bynum and Madam Ali. I just need for Malcolm to come on. He's been in platforms and made millions of dollars teaching and helping other people share. So I'm going
to
bring him on real quick because he has a call to be on at 8:30 for real. And I didn't know he was on here.
We look forward to Brother Malcolm's coming on, but Sister Aisha is our guest this evening. And she takes
I know.
So Sister Aisha, again, do you see any changes as far as these prices going up? Do we see where we ever going to go back to normalcy again? And of course, after you can bring on and share with Sister Wood's guest, but I'd just like to know, I'd like to hear your answer to that question. Do we see normalcy?
My answer to Brother Bilal, my answer to that question is absolutely no. And the reason is because one of the consequences that has been recognized by the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is this mass migration. We're seeing it from the international area, the Ukrainians, middle-class Ukrainians. That's who you see on television. You don't see poor Ukrainians fleeing. You see middle-class Ukrainians. And they are coming into the United States, and they are having to have a place to live. Inner city is the best place for them to live. And if you have property in the cities, in the towns, in the urban areas, that is the rent that is going to go far beyond the means of the local people. So I do not. And also you have mass migration of upper class and middle class people coming from the western part of the United States and the northern part into these new areas, Washington, D.C., Durham, North Carolina, Atlanta, the cities. They want to be in the cities where the services are. They do not want to be in the suburbs. People in the suburbs are migrating back at unbelievable rates into the cities because they realize that they are paying taxes for services that they do not receive out there in the suburbs. The services are in the cities near the downtown or the uptowns. So to answer your question, no, I do not see the prices for rental property going back to what we thought was normal and affordable for low-income and mid-income people, and that's primarily us.
Thank you.
I hope I answered your question, brother. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for cutting you off, but go right ahead, Sister Woods. We will. Yes. I was curious about that because I think about. Looks like a lot of folks are going to go homeless.
Absolutely.
Yes, I didn't mean to change any topics, but Sister Woods, did you want to continue with your guest?
Well, I'm going to have him come on just for about 5 minutes because I know he has to be on his other call at 8:30. I didn't have he thought next week, so I still need to continue with Madam. That's why I was just trying to get him on so I can get him out because he's coming on short notice for me because I guess in communication. So, Malcolm, if you can come on and share a little bit about Tapestry and the importance of just the knowledge on apps today, that would help. Okay? Thank you.
Absolutely. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, I've enjoyed listening to you guys. It's Dr. Malcolm Alexander here out of the Washington, D.C. area. I know you talked about our area. I remember people moving out to the suburbs from the U streets and downtown, although I don't know of this area if they're going to come back in. But, you know, one of the things I was listening to you guys talking about, I just wanted to be brief tonight and hopefully get back on another day. But, you know, one of the things I think it all comes down to education. Because we have always thought, we have always been taught, we always think that people have to spend something to see a value. Well, the world has changed. The world is shifting. The greatest value that we are seeing right now, is at least what people think is value, is went from the internet to something called social media. And then it went on to our phones. Now, we do pay for the phone. But as Ramona mentioned, most people have an average of 50 to 100 apps sitting on their phone. There was absolutely no cost for most of those apps. The richest companies in the world don't sell anything anymore. Okay? So we have to change with times. We have to grow. We have to become aware. We have to become educated. A good friend of mine, I've known him since he was a kid. He's an African-American brother. He's a techie. He went to school with my friend's kids. And in his early 20s, he sold a company for hundreds of millions of dollars. This company developed and monetized data. As a matter of fact, if you go into his office in Chicago, I can watch 96% of every single cell phone in the country moving around.
Yeah.
Even though they think they turned it off, even though they think it's free, even though they think location is off, even though they said you can't have my contact, it's all a perception. Don't believe me? Go to Netflix and watch something called The Social Dilemma. You will fall on your face. How suicides of young ladies have gone up like 80%. It's no younger people aren't dating. They're not getting together. They're not communicating because they're on their phone. But you know, the sad thing is this is not going to change. As the young lady said about real estate, it's not going to change. The rates aren't going to come back down. And as far as this goes with the metaverse and everything being launched, it's not going to change. So I would ask that we actually put something forward to our young people. A matter of fact, our app works for 16-year-olds and up. It's going to blow you away when I share it with you. But we would actually begin to educate like platforms like this and really look into where the world really is and where it's really going and how our people can really benefit from it. This young brother has launched a second company. As a matter of fact, he launched a second company. He was working on it. The last company he sold to another corporation, they came back to him and said, oh, my God, you're on to something. We want in. And they gave him back part of his old company and made him the CEO of both companies.
Mm-hmm.
We have billions of apps around of phones around the world that we watch every single day. As a matter of fact, his brother is so big, the feds wanted to know who went to Trump rallies in their own individual town, who got onto airplanes, who flew to Washington, D.C., and who ended up at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. Well, this gentleman had all that information. Now, he didn't know who did it, but he knew every single phone that followed that path. And the feds can find out who owns the phone. I only say that not to scare you, but to impress upon you that this is the way the world is. And what you don't know, you don't know. You know, as Mark Twain said, if you don't know, you don't know. And if you think you know and you don't know, that is a problem. And so, guys, this is what he's doing. To educate, to empower financially as well our people, he's launched an app that's absolutely free. You download the app like you download any other app. The difference is that when you put this app on your phone, it begins to pay you half the money that all the other apps are ripping you off on. And it's not just apps. I want you to think about this. Google is the richest company in the world. Out of the top 10 companies in the world, 8 of them are in technology. And Google holds 2 of those slots. They're approaching $3 trillion. Sell anything? You don't buy anything from them? Matter of fact, it used to be just a white page that you typed in almost like a dictionary. So why are they so rich? Because they sell you. When you Google something, you are sold to the highest bidder in a second or two. That's why things begin to show up on your news feeds. They begin to show up in your text now. They begin to show up in the side of your email because they just sold you. So taking all this information, knowing that you're being tracked, knowing that all this is going on, this app does no different than a weather app. We don't take your financial. As a matter of fact, go to Facebook, go to Instagram, go scroll down in your app to what you've never looked at, and you will find out that they sell your financial information, they sell your health and fitness information, they sell your contacts, they sell everything you can think of when you look in there. But see, you've never read that. We've never paid attention to it. And the funny thing is that even when we find that out and we act like we're horrified, we're not going to cancel the app. We're not going to stop using Google. And people say, well, I turn off location. They sell that. They sell your contact information, your usage data. Well, it also says above it that following data may be used to track you across apps and websites owned by other companies. Your phone never stops pinging. That's why in the movies, in order to not be tracked, they get burner phones, they take the SIM card out, and they throw it away after they made a call. That's real. So this app pays you half the money that you're already giving away to everybody.
Yeah.
You're going to make up to about $25 a month. But then we went a step further. Remember, it's free. You then refer the app to somebody else, the same way all the other apps and everything else has grown, virally. And then they make up to $25, and you make a dollar every single month. See, the problem with this is that the most people can't understand how you get wealthy from a dollar. They can't understand how you can get rich from free. So they blow it off, they don't pay attention to it, and they keep it moving. But all the while, they download other apps. All the while, those other apps are generating hundreds and thousands of dollars that we're not getting any of.
That's right.
Guys, it's a free app.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does the app actually do? We added some benefits to it. It tells you how many people at the grocery store, at the bank, at the post office, who's at the gym. Not who exactly, but how many phones are there. Well, people say to me this every day. Well, why would I want to know that? Well, why wouldn't you? Yeah, I just heard you guys talking about the pandemic and the social distancing. Do you want to go to the bank that has a line of 25 people? Or do you want to go to the bank that has three people there? You won't know that till you get to the bank unless you have the app. And the app was free. And if you never even use the app, if you never open the app, if you never pay attention to the app, it's still going to pay you every single day. And you get paid on a monthly basis through PayPal or something called Stripe. We just launched another 10 countries this week. We're in about 20 countries right now. We'll be in about 60 more countries in the next couple weeks. By the end of this year, we'll be all over the world with a free app. Can you imagine somebody in Jamaica, somebody in Vietnam, somebody in a third world country who gets, and they get a little bit less, like 50 cents, 25 cents. But guys, that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And you get paid by referring them.
Yeah.
We're connected by social media anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I've been around for a while. I got a company that helps people to be able to connect and brand. You're winning, thewinningtool.com. But I saw this app. I saw what he was doing. I saw he was a brother. I knew he was making a difference. And he is going to make people wealthy who can grasp this concept. 16-year-olds and up can make money with this. Can you imagine a pastor standing in front of the church and asking the congregation to download a free app? 1,000 people download the app, and they walk out of church making money, and the pastors, the church is making $1,000 a month in residual income. Now, there is another option where you can become an affiliate, not for hundreds and thousands of dollars like you do to start most companies. How about $19.95 for the entire year? And then that means when you refer someone to the app, and they refer someone to the app, and they refer someone to the app, and they refer someone to the app in four tiers, you can get paid on four tiers. Guys, I have to jump off. I hope that piques some people's interest. I'm going to give you two websites to take a look at. One of them has a lot of information, some videos and things, and that is www.dash4cash.com. dashforcash.info. Dashforcash.info. The second one, Ramona saw the vision. She saw the value. She said, I can help empower my people, not only educationally, but also as well as far as financially. And you can go to Tapestry. Now, it's spelled a little bit different. T-A-P-E-S-T-R-I. Tapestry.io. Tapestry.io. I-O is a technique. Tapestry.io.
Spell tapestry again.
tapestry.io/Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street. So tapestry.io/Black Wall Street. Guys, I call this Google money. But over the last year, as we brought this to the world, as we fought with Apple, Apple didn't want us to have this type of control. In the next couple of weeks, we will be one of the largest and the biggest tech companies in this arena that there ever was. And you just heard about it before the masses. Ramona, I appreciate
and what
you
is
having
the,
me on.
What is the name of the app?
You can go to tapestry.io/Black Wall Street. We are doing a maintenance upgrade right now. Yeah. We're doing a maintenance upgrade right now, so you may not be able to pull it at every second, but you can go to dashforcash.info to look at other information. If anybody needs me, they can always reach me at 202-723-2223. That's ABCE, my parent company. 202-723-ABCE. Appreciate you guys. God bless.
Thank you so much, Dr. Malcolm. Appreciate you coming on. Thanks again. Okay, so I want to try to bring someone on each week that can help us all maximize our time, and also if we can, we can make a little money because our time is money. The main thing right now is that I do want to continue on with our topic dealing with the climate control and if you don't mind, because the real estate side of it, like you said, it's not. I've been in real estate since 2000 and probably 2000 because I sold my own house. So, being in the real estate market, and I'm about to get my license in Alabama and in Georgia. I'm having national in Alabama and the reciprocal for Georgia, because I want to be able to sell real estate in any state. The hedge fund is still my vision, and that has nothing to do with children, but I will be providing homes for children, girls, which is my other nonprofit, the House the Roof Builds Stability Home for Girls Ages 12 and Up. I actually am working in that now. I've been my significant other. His ex-wife passed and left four daughters. Ages 12 and up. Didn't know I was going to have to walk in that day. Just left to go after Harvey to go to Vegas to get my money. And then I ran into, of course, I already knew about Black Wall Street because my spiritual grandmother, she was part of the Azusa with Mason down in Tulsa. So, and she was born in 1907. So I knew about Black Wall Street. I've always been Black Wall Street. That website he gave you is Black Wall Street because that's my website. I tapped into that opportunity last year. I've been making some little progress in it. What's a dollar, right? That's what we say. But in investments, we know a dollar today is more than a dollar yesterday or the dollar that can't get here. You know, as long as we get some money today, it's better than no money. So, like he said, it's an opportunity where, just like Google, we don't get paid for it, but you can download the app. Everything that comes to Black Wall Street, of course, Black Belt, Black Wall Street, the New African American Association, we're going to be making sure that we all get blessed. If any business is done through any organization I bring to the table and it's used on this platform, Elder Bonham and the Brother Aziz Black, your actual organization is going to be blessed. We do believe in giving back, whether it just be a tenth of the tithe, okay? We do believe in giving back.
Yeah, thank you.
So the real estate, no, it's not. Right now, we should have been prepared. Brother Harris, when I went to Selma, you know, they're getting ready to do great things, and I want to be a part of that, you know, because I believe that he's already given y'all 2 years of this, and now they've got a building they put down there right across from his real estate and coffee shop and all the other things that's now $25 million, okay? So when white people see us doing stuff, they've already been planning. I told you the other week that if I didn't share it on this call, I thought I did, that I had an opportunity when I got in real estate in 2003 in Houston, and this Jehovah's Witness broker I worked underneath, he took me to a planning meeting at 5 a.m., and I had to be there on time. So I had to meet him about 4:45, and we went to the Chamber of Commerce, and they have what they call a planning meeting, and they plan our communities. They plan where they're going to put certain houses, especially for black people. They always like to put us near wires so we can get cancer. They also like to put us near sanitation fillers. So they're planning every day strategically. And when I say I don't mind the airwaves, but I sometimes don't want to be on them because I was a telephone operator back in the early 80s. And I was able to hear people's conversations. And believe me, they do hear us. So some things we've got to sit together in front of each other, call it FaceTime. You know, they have apps called WhatsApp and all this other stuff. We don't get paid for that, but believe me, they're making millions and billions, and some of them quadrillions of dollars while we sleep. So we got to be proactive now.
Yeah.
There was a brother that, and I'm going to let my sister come back because I want her to kind of hear where I'm at in this too. I have a brother. He has an app, Nubian Talk. He disassociated himself with a platform that we were all part of at one time. And he's out in Dallas. He's got Nubian Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, but you know how hard it is to get black people to change things? You know, that's why I believe, you know, when they say much faster than prayer, man, this thing is y'all going into Ramadan, please make it important and make it work, make it happen this season. Because, see, I don't believe that prayer should be something that you don't see happen, okay? I believe that if people are going to go into prayer like that and sell out or fast or whatever you want to call it, you're supposed to see results. I went to Selma. Am I disappointed? I ain't heard nothing about it since that day, okay? That's all I'm saying. And I spent my time and money to go out there. So, you know, we could do a lot of talking. I'm about solutions. I have Romanian gypsies that I move and have for the last probably 10 years now. Romanians. They're Ukrainians. They're the Polish, all them peoples, okay? They black just like us, though. And can you believe that these people don't even have birth certificates, social security numbers? They're American citizens, born right here. You have no clue till you've been inside the gut of this economy. Hey, nothing set up for us. And I don't like talking a whole lot. I don't even like getting on calls. I'm just going to be real. It took Black Wall Street for me to get on calls again because I'm a network marketer. You can imagine they have you on so many of them. I don't have time. But don't make no money, don't make no sense. So right now, we got to have a planning meeting where we come together off the line. We can bring things to this phone line, but certain things, we got to now be about it because ain't nothing changing for the better. It's end time season now. And if we don't strive for perfection and get this thing done right as a people, and it don't take many because Gideon didn't have that many. He had 300. It don't take that many. But if we're all operating in the places we talk about, we can move some things. Because there are people calling me from all over the United States, sis. Go ahead.
Did anyone get those? I tried both of those website addresses,
I'll
and
give
neither
it to
one
you
of them worked. Yeah, give it to me.
None of them work.
I copied it wrong.
Are you on an iPhone?
I'm on my computer.
Okay. Are you
I'm
on is it a Mac?
No, I have a Lenovo.
Okay. Now, the one that he gave me for Pro, it says promail.wixsite. I don't know what this is. Hold on a second. He texted me something. I signed up to this thing a while back, but it says www-dash-dash-cash.info. INFO. I was able to get into that one.
Okay. I wasn't able to get into that one. I put www.4cash.info.
And it's the number 4.
Yes. And then Tapestry was tapestry.io/ Black Wall Street. I wasn't able to get
yes,
in that one.
Ma'am. I'm trying to get into that one myself. I am not. I have
now,
an iPhone.
Now, the first one for cash said it gave me a message that they're working on it.
Okay, I got into
but
that one. It says, get your payday, download our free app that pays you every month. I got into that one.
That
like
one.
I said, I couldn't get into mine, which
cash.
That's supposed to be mine. Not having any
dot
success
info.
Either.
Okay.
And it's not really, I didn't bring it on here to... You know, it's just to share information. That's what you're doing. You were sharing information that if you want it, you get it. If not, we're not going to worry about it. However,
well,
we're hoping that others will, be a part of it.
www.4cash.info says, this site can't be reached. Check if there is a hypo in www.4cash.info. Dash
and you put
four.
Dash D A S as in Sam, H as in Harry. The
oh,
number
did I
4.
Have to spell out dash? Dash? Okay, I didn't
yes.
spell it out. I just put a dash.
Oh.
D-A-S-H?
Yeah, D as in David,
okay.
A as in Apple, S as in Sam, H as in Harry.
Okay.
And the number 4.
D-A-S-H dash 4.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me try that.
It's dash
okay.
4
cash.
That info.
Okay. All right, then. Sounds good.
And I still haven't been able to pull up. I don't know. I sometimes the websites don't work on my phone unless I'm in Google, so that's why I was asking what I did. I mean, we're really at a place. I mean, it's 8:42 right now, and, I mean, the topic can go on and on. Madam Ali, we appreciate you so much again. Like I said, I want you to definitely come back.
Absolutely.
I did
because,
get in.
It's a lot.
I did get in on that. Okay.
Okay.
What I would like to say that I'm looking for partners. Partners will share in the financial returns. We have an official partnership. The partners, when you bring your constituent base to the training, there is a fee for the training, but it's nominal. And all the profits from the training, the partners, we share them. We will give you a code for your people. We don't want your people. We're not trying to get your people or your constituent base. We're trying to give them an opportunity to sign up to register for the training. And for everyone that registered for the training, you will share in the profit from that registration and any supplies and equipment that they buy for readiness to be ready, like the go bag and whatnot. Also, as we develop partnerships all over the country, we will have more of the tools that we need as far as people to take it to FEMA and take it to HUD, who is allocating you know, the community block grants and say, we're the ones out here training the people. I do not know of not one single, but I'm not saying there isn't. I do a lot of research, and I have tremendous research team. We have not found another institution, private or nonprofit, who has the business model that we have. And it means you got to get out and you got to do grassroots training of the people. Fortunately, we're in a virtual world, so that makes it a little easy. But our goal is to train 500,000 people within a year. So that means that we're doing training sessions 3 times a day, every day for 6 months. And then we're going to take those numbers to FEMA and HUD and tell them that we're the organization. When I say we, I'm talking about the partners. We're the organization that is doing mitigation. And that's why I emphasize that word mitigation in their language in allocation of that $16 billion. We'll be doing that. So we need to put the partnerships together. Everybody needs to benefit from the partnership, and we grow together. And there are many other components that we want to add to this, to Summit Environmental Resources. But for now, we are concentrating on educating and training people and preparing them for the storms coming their way. So think about that. Think about let's become partners. And by the grace of God, we are all made something. And that's no less than what these big institutions are doing. And I'm not doing it because they're doing it, because I'm not a copycat, and I don't need them to strategize for me. Everything is already written for us. And, you know, and Allah talks about the coming of the storms in the Quran. We're reading them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get busy, folks. We have to get busy. And Black Wall Street, we want to be a partner with you. We want you to share in the benefits.
That's the Black Belt Wall Street. Sisters, remember.
Black Belt Wall Street.
Black Belt. Yes. Black Belt.
Yes.
That's the one that Booker T. Washington. That's the one that started in Alabama and spread it throughout the world, all through Chicago, New York. This is where the Harlem, many of our famous, all of our businesses in the early 20s and what have you, started from the Black Belt Wall Street. This is what's about sharecropping to its knees, and this is why African Americans to migrate. It was because of the Black Belt. And remember, Wall Street itself was called the Negro Wall Street. The black is something that we added to it. But Wall Street, in its early days, it was called the Negro Wall Street, the Greenwood Business District. And so that's why we the Black Belt. The white folks have taken Wall Street. Black Wall Street is something that they have taken. They got all kinds of legal papers as to where now they own that name, Black Wall Street. The more we talk about Black Wall Street, the more we're promoting.
They copyrighted it.
White folks have taken from us. So it's the Black
Belt. They copyrighted that.
Yeah, it's the Black Belt.
Yes, that's correct.
And Brother Bonnie, I will not make that mistake again. Black Belt Wall Street. Thank you for correcting me.
And that's the one. That's the one. Marcus Garvey. All of them got started from the Black Belt. The Black Belt business district. And so that's who we are. The more I heard that African Americans talking about Black Wall Street, you must realize you're not doing anything promoting what white folks have stolen or taken from us. So, but the Black Belt, and remember, even Wall Street itself was called a Negro Black Wall Street. But white folks didn't want to call themselves Negroes. So they call it the Black Belt Wall Street, but it's the Negro of Black Belt Walls, the Black Belt Wall Street, the Greenwood Business District. That was the what they Booker T. Washington and them called it. So I just wanted
now,
to make sure.
Now, of course, Tulsa was Little Africa. That's what they had called that area, the white people, anyway. Yeah, Little Africa. And then Booker T. Washington came in. But, you know, what's so sad about it, that even though they came in, they got schools, but O.W. Gurley and the founders, they never really got anything. See, this is where we got to now really look back in our history and really find out what happened. Because, you know, I'm in insurance also. The insurance claims haven't been paid. Why are our people less educated? What did they do with the churches? We know that back in after Katrina that they paid all those churches off. So that's why they don't get involved with the Ahmaud Arbery's and all these killings of our black people. It's so much. It's so much underground stuff that the stuff on the surface gets, you know, just there. But it's so much more that we have to talk about underground, because that's where Harriet Tubman started. Okay, even down to Brother Harris, his building sits over really one of those underground railroads down in Selma. Oh, it was historical.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in a Jewish building. Oh, my God. When I say they left behind some treasures, them people got some wealth and some legal books and, you know, the black law book. We got to really do our education now. She's got a lot going on. But I'm telling you, so much more in depth. Because I've got training schools too, but like I said, I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm more in real estate, the investment side, insurance. I'm about making sure that people are knowledgeable about their beginnings to their exit. Because you got to be, you know, able to shift in all those areas. You know, we can train them how to get the stuff, but if they don't know how to exit, it don't matter. And I was actually a real estate agent, so I do know a lot about what I'm talking about. And I've owned my own homes. I've lived in mansions. So I don't care about that stuff now. I'm at that age now where it's about my future, leaving generational wealth. So if the classes that you're offering are going to be training classes for our seniors or people that, you know, we know are old enough to be able to train other children or people, you know, that's what I would love to be able to collaborate
with
you. Women coming out of high school.
Yeah, the whole idea is the training classes are $45 a family.
That's nothing.
Family
that's,
means
that's
your
amazing.
Neighbor, your extended family members, and your teenagers and your children. Everybody's sitting in front of that monitor or your television or your computer. Everybody.
Can you give the website and everything for the people so that way at least we'll all have your information before we have to go off air?
Yes, our website is Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, E-R, the letter E, the letter R, Inc, I-N-C, .com.
Okay, can you repeat that again?
Summit, SUMMITER, like E is an elephant, R in resource, Inc, INC, .com.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
And please, yes.
It's just nice you got a vote.
Yes.
And what's your number, too? I'm sorry.
Okay, our office number. No, let me give you my cell number. 919-225-7205. And the office number is 704. 535-7555. But just the secretary is going to answer, because that's our headquarters in Charlotte. and I'm in my home in Durham. So call me on the cell phone, 919-255-7205.
And what's your email address?
Aisha, A-I-S-H-A, at summitinc.com.
And our brother Isaiah and sister Woods, we have quite a few callers on. I didn't know if anyone give them a chance. Anyone want to make a comment to and the subjects that you've heard us speak about this evening. If you can hear us, we can hear you. All of the mics are open. Welcome to our show. We welcome your comments.
Hey guys, how you guys doing? This is Karen from DeSoto, Texas. Just checking in with you guys. And just saying, are you guys ready to go on live tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Central Time to discuss whatever?
Okay, thanks so much, Karen, for coming on. And Sister Aisha, this is an extension a Black Belt Wall Street show on Thursdays. So if you would like to, and I know you're trying to get as much as your information out there as you can, if you would give Sister Karen your email, and anyone who is listening who would like to join our show, her show really, but we help to sponsor it, especially with Ms. Woods. And if you'd like to give her your email, you can certainly participate on the show. And that show, we can actually see each other. So, sharing that information. Go right ahead.
Sister, I would like to give you my information so you and I can be in touch. But tomorrow, I am committed to another show for the rest of this week, but I will can I give you my email address?
Sure, I'm ready.
Okay, it's Aisha, A-I-S-H-A, at summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, ERINC.com.
Okay.
And anyone else?
And visit our site at www.summiterinc.com.
And anyone else who wishes to participate in the show, you can, if you would give the sister your email, you can certainly participate on the show with us tomorrow. I think that show starts at 7 o'clock. And that would be Eastern Standard Time.
Right.
Yes, sir.
So we've been closing. I would like to just turn the show back over. But before I close, Sister Aisha, I wish you a blessed Ramadan.
Thank you.
Your continuing to participate with us. Especially after Ramadan.
I mean, I have so much respect for you all. And, you know, when we used to see each other at the NMDC conference, and I was in the gold mines at that time, shoveling dust for gold exploration and mining. And it was always such a pleasure to see you all. So we all have been around in this environmental sector a long time doing different things.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
You for coming on again, madam. And we will be talking and in touch. I've got your number. And, Karen, I'll see you tomorrow evening with the green.
All right. Wonderful.
Yes. Thank you, Queen Woods.
Everybody, peace and blessing. Shalom.
Thank you.
All right. Peace and blessing.
Beautiful. improved in liberating strife. Who more than self? Well, country loved.
Thank you.